Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition, the show that helps you connect with your intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane and I'm your host for the show. And today we have got the gorgeous Alara Sage on. Now, Alara, wait until you see her. Look, she's stunning. And it's really hard to imagine that somebody as so gorgeous as her is talking about the shadow of shame. But maybe she has experienced it too. And maybe that's why we can relate to these sort of questions and these sort of episodes about shame, about different things that we are experiencing. I know there's been times when I have, and I would like to get a better understanding of that and how to get through it, because it can be challenging to push through it, especially for empaths. You know, we really struggle with that sometimes. But no further ado, subscribe, share, like the podcast if you want to. But I am going to introduce Alara to the stage. Hello, Alara.
Yay. Thank you so much, Susan.
My pleasure. I want to hear all about it. But first of all, I need to get an understanding of who you are, how you've got to from where you were, wherever that was, to where you are now to be talking about shame. But I am going to ask you a few other questions about shame. So I want to know about your life story first, a little bit about you.
Oh, yeah. So I actually had this incredible experience happen in my life. So back in around 2015, at the time I was working on horses. So my business was working on horses. I was a physical therapist for horses. So I worked on their bodies. And I had started my meditative practice. I had started my spiritual journey. One day I was in the car and I was driving down the road to go work with the horses. And my higher self came in and said, Om, three times. And I didn't practice oming. I knew what it was, but it wasn't like something I did regularly. But I listened and I said, okay. So I took a nice deep breath. Om. And I did that fully and completely for three times, right at the end of the third time. And energy shot through my body, out my crown, and I went into a full body, delicious, extravagant orgasm. I had to pull the car over. Luckily, I was only driving in like a 30 mile an hour area. It was really easy to pull over. And I had never had a full body orgasm at this point. So I was just reeling in the deliciousness and the experience of that aliveness in my body. And after the orgasm kind of softened and relaxed, I was on cloud nine. I was absolutely ecstatic. I was blissed out. And I got to stay in that energy for the rest of the day. I continued to drive and I went down the freeway and I just had the music blaring. I was just singing at the top of my lungs, you know, and you're just having so much fun. I was so incredibly alive. I didn't know what happened to me at this point. But what it immediately did was it showed me a stark contrast to the life that I was living, where I was actually very, very numb and very, very shut down, but I was unaware of this, to, wow, this ecstatic version of myself really showed me the difference and the contrast and the space between that version of me and this version of me. Now, for the next couple of months, what had happened to me is I'd had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. I didn't know what Kundalini was. And so I still didn't know what had happened to me. And the following months were really intense. All of the emotions that I had pushed down into my body, because I had really considered myself to be very emotionally stable. But I wasn't emotionally stable. I was emotionally suppressed. And those emotions came just roaring out of my space. One minute I would be ecstatic. The next minute I would be rageful. The next minute I would be on the ground bawling my eyes out. And I literally asked my higher self, am I going crazy? And I just heard, no, just keep letting the emotions through your body. Just keep letting them out. So it was about 5 months where it was doing this regularly, and it started to reach an equilibrium. And as the universe does, a book fell into my lap called Kundalini Awakening. And the first chapter was about spontaneous Kundalini awakenings that I had gone through and experienced. So it really started me on this journey of, wow, why is that available? Why can I experience so much ecstasy in my body? Be so blissful. And why am I in this state of a level of, you know, not that, right? Mm. And I was really taken into the levels of shame and guilt and other very, very deep emotions I had taken on as a child and throughout my life that I held in my body, really the way that I saw myself. Right? I was seeing myself through this lens of shame. And that was holding me in this very, very tight, very, very suppressed, non-creative, non-alive expression of me. And yes, that was my journey and my process to moving through the shame to who I am today.
So before you had this Kundalini experience, you were living, you realized you were in shame, or you didn't get that understanding until after that?
Yeah, I was not aware. Okay. I was not aware of how shut down I was. I was not aware of how numb I was. And I was most definitely not aware of the level and the shame that I carried.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that, because you don't. Look, I sometimes get a little bit envious on people like yourself, because you've experienced that. Now, the reason, and I have experienced it, but not in the same way. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I get a little bit envious is because we've got all this information that we have access to now. So you started doing meditations probably a lot younger than when I started doing meditations. Mm-hmm. Because it took a lot longer for me to get that type of information. I knew there was shit happening. You know, stuff was going on and I didn't know what it was, but we all we had was the library. So we would go to the library and I would go there and get books and get. So my awakening was not nearly as instantaneous as yours. And that's where I get a little bit envious, because it's like I had to work through all this. And then I sort of got the understanding of it. And it was like, oh, and once I got the understanding, then it all sort of felt like it was coming into place. Mm. But to have it as you've experienced it there, and I have heard it many times before, it's such a mind changer. A life changer, I should say. And that's pretty out there. That's wonderful. What about the people that don't experience it in that terminology, in that format? How could they be experiencing their Kundalini coming in? And maybe we need to explain a little bit more about what the Kundalini is, so people have an understanding of what that is, and then we'll go forward from there.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So Kundalini Shakti is your creative life force energy, right? It is literally an energy that we all have, regardless of your sexual identification. And it lives right above the root chakra of our body, inside of our body. And it is energy that literally is our spiritual journey. And the process of the Kundalini awakening really moves through your body and outside of your body. She is nonlinear in her process and ultimately goes out the crown to, you know, quote unquote, be awakened. But there's more to it than that. She does that several times. She has much more of a depth of process than just boom, out and done, right? It's not a one and done.
But she absolutely, there's a lot more to it, but yes, but to experience it that way is absolutely amazing. Yeah, it really is. I remember my sort of experience on it was more during a meditation, and it did not feel the same way, but it certainly felt like a release, a real. Oh yeah. And I'm watching you, and for those on the audio, Alara's got her eyes closed, and I remember thinking, oh, that is exactly how you feel. You just want to sit there and enjoy that feeling, because it's like, yeah, it's so hard to describe. But anyway, so that's the Kundalini. Now, that was your life-changing moment, that moved things there. And other people can have a lot of life-changing moments. It can be of a negative nature, not such a beautiful positive nature, but it can be of a negative nature that allows them to start moving and changing. And even that is the releasing of, as it's starting to move, things are moving, which is perfect. But I want to get a bit more of an understanding about shame now. People are experiencing it. What is shame? So you were aware that you were living in a lot of shame. What is shame? What does it mean? What's the definition of it?
Such a great question. To me, shame is where we have rejected ourselves. And so when I'm working with clients, we're always going back to those early years as children. Because when we're moving out of that baby, that infant state, and into toddler state, we become very expressive, right? And what we're doing is we're feeling a lot. Our emotional body is opening up. Our sacral chakra is opening up. And we're feeling all kinds of different energies and information and emotion. And for most of us, we grew up in households where there was not emotional intelligence, right? Our parents did not have emotional intelligence. So our parents are coming home and having these suppressed emotions, not expressing them clearly, but we are feeling all of it. We are feeling all of it. And we can't understand why we're feeling one thing and then seeing and being told different things. There's already a dissonance, already a disharmony there. Now you bring in, you know, what we've given the label of is terrible twos, right? That is so self-expressive in how we have seen toddlers and seen this very initial connection to our expression in life, that we're terrible for it, right? And so what usually happens is we are shut down, whatever that looks like for that unique child. You know, stop, knock it off, go to your room, be quiet, stop talking, stop doing that. That's not okay, bad, no, right? And so we start to say, oh, who I am, just who my authentic being is not okay. It's not okay. She is not okay. I have to stop that. I have to stop her. And we start to hide away that very authentic, that very, very innocent version of ourself. And now we are shaming ourself. Now we are seeing ourself, our most brilliant and beautiful part of ourself, as not okay, not worthy, not accepted. And that's the epitome of shame.
And because we're picking it up so young in our life, we aren't aware of it. Like you said, we just are not aware of that side of it. Does guilt come in with that? Is guilt in amongst all of that? And how does that resonate with that sort of area?
Yeah, shame is one of the lowest vibratory emotions that we have. It's very, very close to death. And guilt is kind of one next to it. Guilt is how we feel when we are somehow not, you know, living up to expectations, right? The guilt of not living up to expectations of others, expectations of ourself. And again, this is really stemming from ultimately the energy of shame, right? Because when we are really connected to who we are innately, we are in this availability of just allowance. We allow ourselves to make mistakes. We allow ourselves to be messy, right? We allow ourselves the full expression of who we are. But when we are rooted in shame, we do not allow ourselves. And so we're constantly judging ourselves and holding ourselves up to all of these illusionary expectations of others and, again, from ourselves, and creating guilt because of that.
Yes. Okay. So we're already holding on to that shame, and we picked that up from early in our life. And then with that, we just applying a bit of guilt to it as well, and making a lovely mixture, which is not really nice at all. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we've got an understanding now that the shame and the guilt, it can be all there together. We've got an understanding that it can come from such an early time in our life. So if we felt guilty about something we did last week, or we felt shameful about something we did last week, it's very, very different to feeling it in the now compared to when we're holding on to some of that shame and we're pushing it down. Okay, now hang on. I'm going to ask this question. So, sorry, Alara. There is two areas there. Okay, so when we're feeling shame or guilt in the recent, compared to the shame and guilt we may be feeling from childhood, from way, way, way back there, is there different ways that we look at those? Is there different ways that you would work on healing those or working our way through those? Is the two different levels, the two different time frames, you're going to work differently on them, or are you going to work the same way?
Yeah, shame is shame, and it all comes from the same point. So whenever we're experiencing these energies in the now, it's simply pointing to those very initial wounds. That's all. And that's the beauty of the now. The now is available to us to point to us where we do hold guilt, where we do hold shame, so that we can turn our awareness back on ourselves and look for those very initial wounds. It's the same. It doesn't matter whether it was yesterday, whether it was 5 years ago, 10 years, 20, 50 years ago. Shame is shame and guilt is guilt. And it will always originate from the same actual source. So when we're utilizing the now, we can use that to find those very initial belief structures.
Okay, right. That's cool. That cleared that up. That's good. All right. So, when I'm looking at, and I guess I'm looking at sort of a little bit of a step by step. If people want to connect with Alara, you can connect with Alara at sage.com, which is Alara, and sage is sage.com. So you can connect with Alara that way if you want to get the real good understanding or support. But we're going to go through a little, just a little bit of the, you know, step by step, I think, just to get an understanding so people are aware. Because if I was feeling shame about what I did last week, not that I have anything like that, but you know, just talking about things, if I was feeling shame for something I did last week or last month, how do I start to work on that? Because I know if you've got something in your mind in the recent, it's very hard to go right back to your childhood. So when something's happening in the now or recent, how do you start to work through this feeling of shame, or how do we start to work through it? What are our steps?
Yes, absolutely. And I definitely want to say you don't need to know the root cause. What I'm saying is that the now just gives us the potential to connect to it through our current circumstances or our current experience. So you don't need to know the root cause. And there's a wonderful way. The first and foremost is the awareness. Okay. The awareness, I am feeling shameful. I am feeling guilty, right? Awareness is so powerful because awareness is light. It is shedding light on our shadow. It's like that corner of the room where you sweep all the dust and you pretend doesn't exist, right? And then all of a sudden you shine a light on there and you're like, whoa, that's super dirty, right? So
Yes.
awareness, awareness, awareness. And we want to do it in the context of acceptance, right? Like can take a little bit of practice, but really it is so powerful to see our shadows because it is through our shadows that we really connect to our innate genius, our ecstatic self, our most blissful life. It is not without our shadow. It is not by bypassing our shadow. So as much as you can, be excited to see these parts of yourself. Oh my gosh, yes, I am feeling shame. Oh, that is such a powerful realization because as soon as you start to own it, now you have the power to change it, to alchemize it. So step one is awareness, okay? And step two is kind of going along with that same energy of we want to be in the energy of acceptance, okay? Understanding that shame doesn't make you a bad person, guilt doesn't make you a bad person. None of this makes you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that you're not enlightened enough. None of that is truthful. We all have these parts of ourselves. I have worked through so much energy of inadequacy, and I still work through those levels, okay? Again and again and again, we are here to learn and grow through our shadow. So again, step two is trying to hold that space of acceptance for yourself, accepting you in this energy of guilt or shame or whatever else this is. You can use these steps for anything, okay? So step two is that acceptance. Step three, use your breath and start to breathe into your body. Okay, breathing down into your belly. Okay, using the breath, breathing into your body. And you can just start to say, I call in divine love. I call in divine love right here, right now. I call in divine love through my breath. I breathe in divine love into this energy of shame. I breathe in divine love into this energy of guilt. And exhale, I let go. Oh, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. Okay. Trust that you, my love, are so incredibly powerful. Trust that when you decree, declare, and command, it does indeed happen. You don't need to feel it. You don't need to experience some bright lights and beautiful energies. Just call it in, breathe it into your body. Ah, it is happening. I'm calling it in. It is here. I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. It is in a very, very powerful practice.
Wow. I love that. That is fantastic. I love how you did it too. That was really good. okay. And I guess where I'm going with that is that all sounds beautiful because at this stage you're expressing it and you're saying it. But when we're actually feeling it, when we're actually, you've woken up and you're feeling really crappy and you're feeling really shamed that you should have done this better or you should have done that better. It is easy to sit there and say it now, but when somebody's experiencing it, I guess I wanted to go back into the first part where you're talking about awareness. You are saying you're aware, but how can we look at that and really give someone a really clear, concrete understanding of what they need to do? My head goes to, you need to be go away from that space, get out into nature, do something else and take yourself away so you can experience that. You know, like experience what you're saying. Is that what you mean, Lara?
For everybody, it's very unique. And I always suggest that you have tools in your toolbox, right? Because just as Susan said, yes, is that nature for you? Is it sound, right? Music or sound or some sort of input through audio that really just allows you to shift out of that space. For some people, it's, you know, with your animals or with your children or your loved ones. And so having multiple different things that you can pull from is what I call the toolbox. And you want to have that toolbox because, hey, we're in different circumstances, right? Maybe your dog isn't always available, right? Maybe you don't always have access to nature, but maybe you can pop in some headset and listen to some sounds and help you shift out of that space. So really understanding what that toolbox is for you, uniquely having those tools available, and then absolutely recognizing, whoa, okay, I'm in this really, really deep. I love how Susan brought up nature because she's been one of my most profound healers, Mother Gaia. I just always have gone out into her and she just literally sucks that energy right off of me. And it's important to be able to recognize when we're in those energies and when we need to use one of our tools from our toolbox.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so we get that toolbox organized. Once we know what it is we like, when we know what it is that resonates with us, then we know what we can grab out of that toolbox. Because that's really important. So thank you for that. I wanted to get a bit more understanding so people can go, well, okay, it's okay to sit in the moment, but you know that they may be sitting in the moment that's dangerous to them. You know, they may be in a spot where they need to be away from an abusive relationship. So it's very hard to look at your shame and feel that breathing and be in an environment that isn't conducive with you. So if it means headsets, if it means, you know, the puppy dog sitting on your lap, whatever it means to you, make sure you've got those things in place. So when these feelings do come on, go into and replay this again, because the way Alara did that, or watch it on the video, oh my goodness, it was just amazing. And I could sit there, watch you go through that and do exactly the same myself, you know, sit myself through it, because it was just so well done. I really enjoyed it. All right. What I want to ask now is how, and I don't want you to give away all your secrets, but how do you help people that are experiencing these sort of things? Or what is your line of work that is helping people to get through that?
Yeah, absolutely. I work with women and, you know, really I'm here to help women to embody their bodies, right? So what you felt, Susan, is me embodied, right? Being fully present to my body and all of the sensations and the emotions. And so I help women go from that numb state that I was in into this ecstatic life. And, you know, that's not some vague experience. It's real. We can live absolutely blissful, ecstatic. We can live in a state of ease and flow and grace. And so I really help women to connect to their bodies. You are so powerful. I know I already said that. But yes, it you know, when you start to connect to your power, you really realize how powerful you truly are. So one of my specialties is helping women to connect down into their power so that they can do this in any situation, at any time, connecting into their bodies, breathing into their bodies, and learning how to move that energy. I'm a big believer that you have the power to move that energy. So I teach the four keys of embodiment, very precise teaching of how to work with yourself in any given circumstance, in any experience, whether you're on the, you know, you're on the bus, you're driving, you're in a meeting, right? You're surrounded by young children and chaos. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's happening in your physical reality. Your power is always available to you. So I help women to connect to that, to embody that, and learn how to work with that in their physical reality, not in some like go out in nature and meditate and be there, like apply it to your physical reality, because we are human and we are in this life. We need to know how to utilize these energies every single day.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think sometimes we can get too woo-woo or too physical, and we need to have that happy balance. So I really understand that. What I want to ask you, when you're talking, Lara, you were saying taking women from their numb state to numb state, that sounds strange, but you know what I mean, from that numbness to going forward. Now, you said you didn't even know. You weren't aware that you were in that state. How do people know if they are in that state of numbness?
Most people don't. Most people don't. Usually there's a sense of like there's more to life than this, right? And or that life is a struggle, that you're really struggling. There is no flow. There is no creative fire. Perhaps there is no orgasm. I was not orgasming very much at that point. Now I orgasm outside of sex. I just orgasm through talking and experiences. I orgasm a lot. So it's more about like understanding what is truly available to you. And are you living that life, right? So are you living alive, lit? Are you living in this flow? Are you living where you just know that you are deeply connected to your genius, your unique genius, and you are expressing that out into the world and it lights you up and it's like you can't get enough of life because it is so delicious. The vast majority of people are numb, are shut down. Their nervous systems are dysregulated. And no, they don't know, because numbness is numbness, right? We don't feel. We don't know. It's like you're not even aware that you're not feeling because you're literally not feeling. So it's more about seeing what are people showing you? What is the reflection? Like, I'm here reflecting to the audience right now that my loves, there is this aliveness to your life that is so incredibly juicy, and you have the power to live this life.
Yes. One of the other areas that I remember when I was back then was the fact that you'd wake up in the morning and you just thought, it's another day. It's another dreary day, another day of running the kids here, another day of doing this, another day of doing that. And that's the energy that went into it, how I'm speaking, how it feels, like the body language and everything else. It's when you're feeling like it's just another day that I've got to get through, that's when you're feeling numb. And I mean, you're probably not feeling numb. You're probably feeling a little bit depressed and pretty down and out, but you don't have to be. You may be feeling that, okay, I've got to do this. You may be so in your head. Tell me if this sort of resonates, Lara. You may be so in your head, I've got to do this. 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 You don't have time to feel. And if you're not feeling, you're not alive. So if you're feeling that way, that's when you've got to turn around and say, okay, there's got to be something better to life than this. And that's when you need to start making the changes. And that's where people like Lara can help you, because they can really connect and get into that side of it. What I want to, sorry, that was a little bit off tangent, but I was, as you were saying, I'm thinking, I remember that's how I was feeling, where there wasn't anything wrong, but not necessarily anything right either, if that made sense. So you're in this.
It's such an important concept and point that you just made, Susan, because it's not that we're not feeling anything. It's that we're not feeling the aliveness, right? And so overthinking, when we're up in our minds, that's where, again, the vast majority of people are, right? You're constantly thinking, you're either in the future or you're in the past. Most people are in the future. They're constantly worried, constantly thinking of the future. And they're not in their bodies and in the present moment. Also, fatigue, overwhelm, exhaustion, these are all signs of not connected to your power, because your power is inexhaustible.
Yes, that's like that. Yeah. And look, it just makes sense, because we often, especially in the spiritual circles, you often talk about we go off on our different tangents, like talking about the Kundalini and things like that. And people don't really understand it. It becomes a little bit woo-woo, and you sort of go, well, I don't understand what she's talking about, and they turn off. Whereas if I bring it back down to those, this is how I was feeling, and if that's how you're feeling, then you can do something about it. You can connect with your power. You can connect with different things and grow. But what I want to talk about is with where you were going, you're talking a lot about your body and how your body's reacting, and how, because we have mindset coaches and we have, you know, all different sorts of coaches, you tend to be focusing more on that physical aspect of the body to allow that spiritual side to come through, to allow the emotional side to come through, to allow everything else to come through. Can you give us a little bit more of an understanding on that physical side? Why is it important to be using the physical body in that way, or being aware of the physical body, if we're meant to be so spiritual?
Such a wonderful question, Susan, because, you know, I went through this time where I was so spiritual and I was going into these really powerful meditations. They were transcendent meditations. And I was just going up and out of my body and into these really beautiful dimensions. And then after the meditation, you know, I would just be in humanness and really feeling disconnected, right? Because the importance of our body is, one, it's always in the present moment. Like you hear, be here now, be in the present moment, because there is only the present moment. And everything that you're really trying to experience, everything that you're here to learn and experience and grow, is literally in this moment now. And that's not where our minds are, but our body is. As well as our body holds an incredible amount of wisdom. You know, we hear a lot about gut instinct, gut intuition, right? This all lives in the body. Intuition and gut instinct is not up in our heads. And so when we learn to connect to the bodies, we are really connecting to this absolute innate wisdom that we hold, as well as we are connecting in to the moment, which is really where we start to actualize that power that we're speaking of into our humanness. You know, sometimes you feel somebody walk in the room, they don't even need to say anything, right? They have a presence about them. You know, people are magnetic, right? There are some people that you're just like drawn to. That's a presence. That's all held in the body. Our power, our magnetism, absolutely, our ability to really create is all held in the body. So when we learn to really be in the body, we're really working with these energies to actualize them again, once again, into our human experience, which is not this far out, far-fetched thing. This is very much, again, about the day to day and about your human life, and really how can we increase that human life to your most highest potential and your most aliveness.
Yes, I like that. And when we start to listen to the body, we start to get that understanding. It just starts to make things a lot clearer and a lot. It's another tool. It's another tool in our toolbox, isn't it? And I talk about intuition, how we receive intuitive messages, and we do receive them. We can receive them physically. We can receive them emotionally. We receive them in many different ways. But if you're stuck in one spot And we can even be stuck in the body when you think about, say, people that are excessive, gym, what are they, gym junkies, I think they call them. People that are excessive for that physical aspect in a context that it's just about the physical. There's a lot that do it and they still have that spiritual connection with it, which is lovely, but there's a lot that do it that it's just all about the physical. And that can be too far one way again, isn't it? It's all about balance.
Absolutely.
So can you give me a little bit about what you're doing? This is where we can sort of go, well, what do you do? How can you help people? And just give us a little bit more idea about what you do.
Yeah, so when I work with women, we are really working through three different parts. One of them is releasing, right? When we talk about these energies of shame and guilt, I help my clients to very easily and readily release these woundings, these traumas, these limiting beliefs, things that we're aware of and things that we're not aware of. So I'm helping them really through holding a container with them. I energetically assist them to very easily, rapidly let go of these energies. So through that first process, wow, they already start to feel a lot more openness and ease, not that tightness, not that restriction in their being. The second process that I go in is I teach them how to be in their body, how to breathe into their space, as I previously mentioned, how to use the four keys to work through their own issues, challenges, experiences in life. And then the last thing I do is I activate the Shakti in women. I activate them in their power and their magnetism. So what I do is very mysterious and esoteric. However, when people work with me, they feel deeply, deeply held and safe. They feel deeply seen, and they just watch their lives really open up to, again, really create this flow. And they learn how to work with themselves in this way that we're speaking of today, where they can access this given any circumstance, no matter what's happening in their reality, so they can continue to remain anchored, remain calm, remain in presence, no matter what the chaos or challenge that they are moving themselves through. And so they start to really radically transform themselves, which transforms every single part of their life, their relationships very, very much, their careers, their businesses, everything within their life starts to reflect this transformation.
Yes, and as you were saying that, what came to me too, and I remember hearing it from somewhere else, is that when you are in that space of power, it's like you're in the center of a cyclone or a hurricane, or
Yes.
it's like you're always in the center. So you've got all this stuff whirling around. It's not changing any of that. It doesn't make that go away. But what it does is it puts you right in that center where you're strong, you're powerful, you can just walk through it and it just follows you around, but it's not affecting you. So it's like being in the center of the hurricane, I think you call them, or cyclones, we call them over here, and not allowing it to sort of affect you. So, and another one I did too was when I was first learning how to do meditation, they said, if you can do meditation properly, you could do it if you were tangled up in a barbed wire fence. And
Yes.
I sort of went, well, I don't want to test that theory. Thanks very much. But I get that. If there's chaos happening around you, you should be able to center yourself. And that is what you are almost, you're teaching, I believe, by what I'm listening to. You're teaching that power to be present and not be so affected by the environmental aspects around you or what's going on around you.
Absolutely. One of my favorite places to meditate is the airport because of all the energies. Can you center? Can you really deepen into that space of absolute stillness, of no thought, with so much energy around you? It's always just a delicious practice for myself. But yes, I am teaching people to find that anchor in their hurricane, in the cyclone. And it's not just that, because we are constantly creating our reality. Everything that you see, you are creating. Right. And it's a powerful thing to realize because it is empowering to know that. Sometimes people get really like, oh, what do you mean I'm creating my reality? It's sometimes a hard pill to swallow. However, that means you're in the seat, sweetheart. You're the driver, right? You're the driver of your car. And so not only Are you beginning to be that anchored, calm, present power in the cyclone? You actually start to create radically different realities. You are creating a life that does not have that cyclone energy, that does not have that chaos, that struggle, that strife. You know, yes, it has challenge, but the challenge has become very, very enjoyable and a process of your own evolution, rather than, oh, here's this thing again, and oh, why did this happen, and oh, now I have to do this, and I have to face this, and life is always so difficult. It changes everything about your reality and your existence.
Yes, I love that. I love how you say that they've become challenges, and those challenges are what we can really grow and learn from. So they're fantastic. And they don't, you are correct. The cyclone set tends to go away. The hurricane mm-hmm. tends to go away. You just don't notice it. It's, mm-hmm. you know, people may be running around going crazy and you hear mm-hmm. things saying, oh, this has happened and this has happened. You sort of go, mm-hmm. well, yeah, I don't see that. I have it. You see it on social media where someone will go, oh, it's all over social media. Don't you see it? And I go, no, because I don't follow that and I'm not right into that sort of side of things. And it's quite amazing because, you know, like attracts like. You click on something in social media and you sure as hell are going to get it thrown at you all over the place, because that's how they do their background analytics type thing. But it's also life. If we put it out there, you are going to get it back. So let's put out some positive stuff, which is really a lot better than putting out the negatives. Alara, we are running out of time. Have you got anything else you want to say before we say goodbye?
Yeah, you know, I would just love to talk about the positivity, right? Because I'm naturally a very, very positive person. And I just want to speak to anybody who feels like, you know, if you feel like you need to be positive or anything like that, like reality is that we are here to experience the full flurry of emotion, right? And so it's okay if you feel shame, and it's okay if you feel guilt, and it's absolutely okay if you feel fear or anxiety, right? It's not about not feeling these things and like, oh, I'm positive. This is all so great. You know, it's about like really learning that those are just emotions. And I saw this meme that said that the Irish say, I don't know if this is true or not, that, oh, an emotion is upon me. So rather than saying I am scared, they say, oh, fear is upon me, which is the implication of that it's upon me. And just as it's upon me, it can leave, right? Emotions are energies that come and go. And so just learning how to be with your emotions, learning how to let the emotional energy through you so that you can be organically positive. You can be organically happy and content and lit, rather than trying to make yourself be that way.
I love that. That's cool. Thank you so much for being on the show, Alara. Thank you for giving us the understanding of shedding the shadow of shame. I really like that. Stay on the show. Stay there, because I'm going to do the goodbyes and I'll chat to you in a minute. Thank you. Hey guys, jump on and have a look. Look at Alara's website. It's in the comments down below. Sorry, in the description down below. Sorry, I got all confused then. I will be back next week. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast. And if you do want to learn to trust your intuition, jump on my website, intuitivenature.com.au, and I can help you there. There's a few online courses now, and we can connect. We'll be starting a big new Trust Mastery program very soon. So looking forward to that. But I will see you all next week. Oh, hang on, let me get my branding up so I can say bye. Okay, guys, bye for now.